Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Pog State Roundtable that is Square. Here's where we discuss absolutely everything that is season wrap-up, playoffs, our predictions, ideas, who's in Elo hell in each of these teams, all sorts of really fun stuff. And thankfully, I have the entire casting team to help me out. Welcome, guys. Wolf, how is it finally being at LOL Park and being out in this area? Because I don't think there's been a reason for you to come here at all.
You know, I've walked through this area a few times, actually, before I was a League of Legends commentator, visiting you guys.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
But I've never actually been here as a caster myself at LOL Park. Feels cool. Feels very empty, because last time I was here, it was filled with people drinking coffee and hanging out in this area.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to having that back one day.
Me too. Speaking of which, Brendo, how is it to be back, you know, near the Bilgewater Cafe and the Hall of Fame and things that we only remember in our memories?
Yeah, it's pretty sad, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, if we were here at this time, we'd at least have people behind us and it would be bustling, you know. There's no more of the bustle. It's kind of like we're here alone with the staff, which is cool in its own way, but definitely looking forward to the future and getting back to normalcy.
Heck yeah. Bring us back an audience. And Chronicle, I saved you for last because you're probably going to be more positive about this. How is it sort of finally getting to check out this sort of area?
Yeah, it's lovely. It's really cool. Yeah. When I came up first, when you go up like the staircase for the public entrance, right?
Yeah.
Then you have like all these different champions that are like on the next to the escalator. So I took a couple of pictures and sent them to like the respective one tricks in the Benelux, and they were very happy about that. It's really
perfect.
Cool.
Yeah. The perfect setup.
No comparison, right? So then it's just great.
Yeah, no, it's just good. I think the PC Bung is still open, so at least there's that. I think it might be.
Is it?
Maybe it's not. I don't know.
I've walked past there and I don't think it is.
All right, never mind then. Because like I used to
cut
come out
the
here.
Segment. No positivity here.
No, I used to always come out here to get my cold brew, and now because the cafe isn't open, there is absolutely no reason for me to be here whatsoever. That and check out which cool merch was there and see whether you could buy Pengu merch. Hmm. That was another big one.
Yeah.
But let's bring it to what we were actually here to talk about. And thankfully, we're actually really lucky. This is being filmed on Sunday, which means it's before our final two matches. Doesn't actually matter about what happens in those whatsoever. The standings are completely locked. Playoffs are locked. Congratulations to Nongshim, who qualified yesterday. I think there's a lot to talk about our sixth seed in the playoffs. But we will get to that. I guess I'll start with just a broad question. Gentlemen, what were some of the, biggest surprises for the playoffs? And I'm starting on my left, so Wolf, you can start again.
I mean, I think the biggest surprise was how it ended, the running. It was the quietest, most important victory for Nongshim ever. They took a really one-sided series against Frederick Brion. But I think what was really exciting about the lead-up to the playoffs was actually that it was hard to tell who was going to get the spot, and it was not clear. There was not a clear favorite for the spot. Nongshim was the favorite only because of the remaining matches and the schedule they had. But at the time when we went into the last 2 weeks of playoffs, each team in the bottom five had actually taken games off of top teams during that period, had shown really high highs, and it felt really sad because we're like, well, only one of these teams is going to get in. And as, you know, our ELO predictions had foretold, Nongshim was the one who had the easiest schedule. Despite their loss to KT, they still were able to get in. I think the biggest surprise for me was just how close it was at the end of the day. Like, this is so rare. And I know I sound like a broken record on this because I keep saying it on broadcast too, but it's so rare to have end of regular season be so competitive and so interesting until the final games. Like, we only had one day today, which hasn't happened yet. That's boring and uninteresting in terms of standings.
Look.
he said in terms of standing. So, like, I don't feel...
No, he said in terms of...
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
So the question was, what was the biggest surprise to you in the first season?
DRX, probably. I think that coming in, my expectations were very low. I hoped that they would do well because I thought, like, I like Pioshik as a player and as, like, a personality. And I think they have chosen a pretty bad time to slump because they, like, every team has had their slump, right? Like T1, Gen.G, even Damwonkia, which was just one loss, but still.
Mm-hmm.
And then DRX have chosen to do that at the end of the split near playoffs, which is kind of subpar. But as a whole, I'm still surprised by how well that team was able to perform, especially in the first half of the split, and kind of the vibrancy that they showed in how they approached the game. And it's just a really fun team to cast.
Yeah, I actually think them making top four is extraordinary.
Yeah.
Like, it's really surprising. I don't think a lot of us were expecting it. I think a shout-out needs to go to Bao and Becker on the bottom side for actually being good.
Yeah.
When I don't think anyone had any expectation for these two rookies to actually perform. Valdez, we're running out of options.
Yeah, man. I know. Yeah. They took the two good ones. I don't know. There's not much else to say. I mean, those were the two big surprises. I think also the fact that T1 were able to turn it around so quickly, right? It was like all the fans got like whiplash or something, you know? Like they were all going one direction. It's like, nope, actually we're really good now again. It could have kind of been expected because that was kind of the roster that was winning a lot in the past. But I think a lot of the T1 fans and the fans in general can sometimes get a little bit doom and gloom when it's, you know, the team's losing, nothing's going right, and then all of a sudden they just flip the switch and it's like, oh, everything works again. All the fans, you know, a lot of the things they were asking for came back. Obviously Faker back in the mid lane was a big one, but just the roster itself, like everybody performing at a really high level, even like Cuz coming back, and everybody's like, see, he was the guy the whole time, stop playing all the rookie junglers,
said Atlas
like
from the very beginning of the season.
Yeah. You and many of the fans, yeah, who were a little bit annoyed, but it's cool to see that because you know, they were obviously experimenting a lot with their roster, and I think it actually ended up being really good because they gave a lot of experience to their younger players, their rookies, and then at the end of the day, it's like, okay, now this is actually our playoff roster. And it happens so suddenly that it feels like we just added another big team into the playoffs, which I feel like is really good because if they weren't there, I think a lot of people could just look at the playoffs and say, well, this is going to be the easiest win for Dom Lunkia potentially out of any other split that they've played. But now I think a lot of people are saying that T1 might be able to challenge them.
I actually think that the biggest surprise is the fact that not a lot was actually surprising. Dom Lunkia, despite losing Noggery, remain completely dominant. Khan up towards the top side is actually, it feels like a really solid replacement, even though
I forgot about Noggery, man.
I haven't
either. Every time I look over at the LPL, I get a little bit sad. Viper as well, you know, over there just absolutely dominating for EDG, a team that I used to be in love with as well when I was a commentator, I'm getting a little bit wistful. We miss a lot of those big players. However, the LCK has remained largely the same. I think this echoes your point as well. DRX are still good. How? Doesn't make any sense, but we still have a top four, top three at least at the moment, that is basically the same. Although, I guess Humble Life Esports fits in there now, but it's familiar players. It's like we've got two versions of DRX instead of just one, right? The top three has two of them because Humble changed so much. It feels a little bit more like, you know, Chovy Deft and the gang, like it used to be. And then you've got Pyoshik and the gang as the other version. But both of the teams still performing very, very well. Congratulations do need to be given over to Hanwha for overperforming beyond what the org expected. However, our expectations for the players absolutely were confirmed. T1 making that sort of last run was very impressive, but only makes the standings look very similar again to what was happening last year. You think back to spring as well, like Gen G have an extraordinary regular season. What have they done? They've had a pretty good regular season, and then T1 comes up and claps them. That might be something that we see in the playoffs.
Very good chance, I'd say.
Yeah, although guaranteed not to be the final. So that is definitely, well, technically it could be.
No, actually, it could happen. Yeah.
It could happen, but it would be very
difficult. It would require Damwon to pick T1, which seems very unlikely.
Yeah.
So.
And they'd also have to then lose.
Yeah,
which is also very unlikely.
And then Gen G need to beat Homolife as well.
Yes,
in that scenario, if Homolife win, against Nongshim, maybe Nongshim makes it.
Yeah, you know, now we're doing some like predictions and things like that. But I actually think that it's really cool that like the more things change, the more things stay the same.
Yeah,
and we have moved into a franchise league. Like, I think a lot of the teams are now finding some identities as well. There's been a you know, I mean, KT was a bit of a sad one, right? Like a huge storied org, not necessarily performing, but they've been one step away from playoffs many, many times. You know, they're often our final team to get into playoffs, things like that, or have been in the last year. So that's not a surprise either. Freaky Freaks is sad, though. That definitely does.
Yeah.
Still hurts me.
It does. It hurts me too. Keen.
Didn't get 10th.
There we go.
There you go, Connor. Nice.
This guy's cup is always half full.
Yeah. It's about 1/4 at the moment.
But let's get into the meat of the situation, right? Like, it's playoffs time. We have a brand new playoffs format. I guess, the Valdanalyst, if you could take us through the change in the format and what this means for the LCK, and then we'll have Wolf get upset about change after that.
Yes.
Perfect.
I'll
okay.
Wait. I'll wait.
I'll set
turn.
It up. I'll hand over the alley-oop and you can dunk it through. Yeah, so the playoffs this year, we have an extra playoff day, and that's because we have a new format where we have round one, which is 2 best-of-5s, round two, which is 2 best-of-5s, and then we have the finals, which is also a best-of-5. So we scrapped like the wild card plus gauntlet format where we had a best-of-3 into 3 best-of-5s. This time we get more League of Legends, and we have an extra team as well to do it. So top two teams, right? Domlin gets to sit and wait, and they get the pick of the litter from the bottom four. Whoever wins, or, you know, they get to choose whoever they want. And then the second place team also gets to wait, and then gets the other team that makes it through. Third through sixth, they fight, and third place sixth, fourth place fifth, and we get to see who makes it through. So that's the format.
Yeah, and Wolf, this is a bit of a departure from the Gauntlet. I said it a bit facetiously, but I think that there are things about the Gauntlet that a lot of us will miss. There's a lot of hype running the Gauntlet, things like that. But I think that being able to see our top team more than once is probably good.
Yeah, I think that that's what the fans want, right? Like, I'm a big tradition guy, and as you mentioned, you know, I hate change. anyone who knows me knows this very well. Like, if someone brings me an ice Americano instead of the hot Americano that I always have, I'm like, what are we even doing? Like, why would I even drink that?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think the format change is what everybody wants. So in that regard, like, I'm really happy about it, because at the end of the day, this show is for the fans. Like, that's the point of the tournament, is for people to watch good League of Legends. I'm sad to lose the Gauntlet format, because I did like those runs, and I liked a more exclusive playoff format with 5 teams, but that really cool run that we had the last 2 weeks with the last final few teams deciding where they were going to end up in playoffs wouldn't have been possible if we had a 5-team format. We would have just been like, well, let's see what they are practicing, getting ready for summer. So, you know, we ended up with some good things. I'm hoping that the fans are happy with the new format and how it goes, because we are going to get to see Damwon Kia twice if they win their semifinal match. So should be good, and I'm very excited to cast my first playoffs, and I'm hyped. It should be finally the culmination of everything we talked about what could have happened. When we finally get to the end, we're going to get to see it in real time.
You excited as well, Chronicler? How are you prepared? Are you prepared for your first LCK playoffs experience?
What I love about the playoffs as well is that I think outside of Nongshim and to a lesser extent DRX, each of the four top four, like obviously Damwon Kia is favorite, like each of these four teams, I feel like I can make a reliable case in like where they win finals. And it doesn't feel like you just be trying to make a point just to have like a cool hot take, right? Like, I legitimately think that all four of these teams have the talent, have shown the peak performance to make it happen, and that's really, really cool. Like, I'm super excited about that, and I can't wait to see who actually takes it.
Yeah, and speaking of which, we actually have all of our teams locked in the playoffs, so we know what the first round is and what these matches are. I have a bit of a hot take. I don't know whether it's a hot take, but I actually think that this playoffs is probably the easiest playoffs to predict that's happened in the last 4 years, I think.
I agree, actually.
I think it's almost like set in stone.
When our producer told us, like, do you guys want to do bracket prediction? I was like, what if they all look the same?
I mean, I think they should, right? Like, I don't think it's too difficult. I think there's like a few rock, paper, scissors in there that are a little bit like, it's a little bit unfortunate, but it's likely that it's just going to be the same, right? And I don't know. I guess we can go through it, though. Do you want to take us through the first round, Chronicler? Who are our teams, and who are they going to be taking on?
So we have T1 taking on DRX, which that's a match where I'm like, I don't know how that's going to go. That's the one where I'm actually feeling a little bit dicey, specifically because of the form that T1 has been in recently. And DRX, like I said it jokingly, that they chose their slump poorly, but they actually, like, this is not a good time to not be on form anymore. And I think it's normal for teams to kind of have ebb and flow in how you perform once you start losing. We even saw this with Damwon Kia. Like, they didn't keep losing after losing to Fred Abraham, but they did look less confident and they looked much shakier. And I think that DRX is going through a similar situation right now. And I don't really think that that's something you can afford against current tier one, because I think that there are still criticisms to be levied towards the draft to a certain extent, but that's a common criticism for a lot of LCK teams. And then you have a mid lane and a bot lane that, while I think have overperformed compared to the expectations, have not looked as good, have not been able to stand up as well. And then you're playing against Faker and Teddy and Carrier, and that's...
Yeah, it's a 3-0, what you're trying to say, right? is that what we're getting to?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And then Hanwha versus Nongshim is going to be our next matchup.
That's also a 3-0 for Nongshim.
Yeah.
Well, actually, if you go back to the Kasper Cup, boys.
I think this bracket is pretty predictable, like you were saying, but I think of all the predictable matchups, like this one is the most predictable. And I think it's a really unfortunate matchup for Nongshim, because I think they might have a better chance against DRX or even T1 because of the matchup between Duckdom and Deft in the bottom lane. This is a meta that super suits Deft, like a lot. And it's a decent one for Duckdom too. But like, that's where Nongshim's strength is, in my opinion, is in the bottom side of the map. And when you're up against Deft, who is playing all the same champions as you and is going to get higher priority usually in draft, because the rest of Nongshim, like, they're picking Aatrox and like R1, R2 because they need to get that early because they're so pigeonholed into this style of play, you're not going to get the AD champions that you want. And I think that Hanwha Esports are going to ban away a lot of those champions. You're never going to get a Felios Thresh. It's never going to happen. Deft will probably get Jinx before you. He might play Senna. I mean, I think that it's a really bad matchup for Nongshim's strengths. And I don't expect them to take a game, sadly. It was a really... It's kind of unfortunate. We had this really epic moment, like, okay, who's going to get into the playoffs? Okay, it was Nongshim. And I think even Live Sandbox might have had a better time against Hanwha Life Esports that particular matchup, right? Stylistically, this is really bad for Nongshim in this meta. So yeah. I think it's going to be, you know, pretty easy to see how that one's going to turn out. I'm happy to be wrong. I'm happy to be surprised. But that one... might not be a banger, you know, to put it that way.
You mentioned the like very even matchup of Deft versus Duckdom and how it kind of like neutralizes Duckdom and how Deft can definitely handle that bot lane that's very strong. And then you look at the mid lane and it's like, you know, that's why when you were saying like Live Sandbox could definitely handle this a little bit easier, I'm like, yeah, definitely, because it's Chovy versus Bay. And I mean, come on. Like, Chovy, he's the best laner in the mid lane, I would say, even better than Showmaker and Faker at this point. And I think we might even see solo kills. We might just see Chovy flame Horizon him in one game. I think it's going to be a 3-0. It's not going to be close. I think it's going to be ugly.
And also, they need to ban at least Chovy's Orianna and Lucian as well. And then he's got the biggest champion pool
but
of any
Deft
player.
But then Deft can play Senna also.
This is the problem, right? And now Morgan's playing so well that they also need to protect Rich from this Morgan steam train of Sion chaos that he's been able to create. Like, it's terrifying. I look at this match and I'm thinking, if Peanut doesn't I'm talking solo queue Lee Sin levels of 12-0 at 2.5 minutes hard carry. Like, if Peanut doesn't do that to Johan, like, It's another 3-0. And then we get the huge question, right? And so my idea of like the whole thing being predictable hinges on this one moment. And the one moment it hinges on is which team Damwon's going to choose. Will it be T1 or will it be Hanwha Life Esports?
I think it's going to be Hanwha Life Esports, right? Like, I that's my prediction.
So this is the thing that's like really difficult, right? Because Hanwha are higher on the standings. I think in a lot of people's minds, and also based on our ELO system that we had for the playoffs, right? Actually, T1 is third place when it comes to how they've been performing recently. There is still a match to come. It is Hanwha versus T1. That's going to be coming up for us in like the next couple of hours. Mm-hmm. That will tell us a bit about what this means. But I don't know where the smart money is as far as that choice. And if Damwon Kia choose T1, then all of a sudden... like, round two of the playoffs is extraordinarily interesting.
Yeah.
If not.
If not, it's another Gen G T1 situation, and Damwon Kia is in a best of five.
I actually think you go for T1 because they will be a bigger threat later on. I think T1 is one... I'd be more afraid if I was Damwon Kia of T1 ramping up into a really strong finals than it would be for Hanwha Life. because I feel like Hanwha Life has more clearly identifiable weaknesses. And if you meet them in the finals, I'd be less scared than against a T1.
Would you want to make it to the finals first?
The points are important, by the
way.
Yeah.
The points in spring, even, I think, I don't know the exact
numbers. They're worth a bit more now. Yeah.
Increase the points. I don't know if it increased for first, but like for third and fourth, maybe? I feel like maybe we should.
I think just everything was boosted up by like maybe, 10 or something, just because there's an extra team now in the playoffs, and so therefore that needs to be like the 10 pointer at the bottom. But, yeah, but like, I haven't looked at it for a while.
I think me and as far as possible is the best.
Yeah,
play. Of course. I mean, don't you want to win the tournament?
But that's what I'm saying. I think as Dumb Monkey, you'd rather pick T1.
I think that's the risky move. Like, that's the all or nothing choice.
But you got to beat them anyway. And I think that's what I'm saying. I think that you'd rather
Gauntlet
beat
the format. You didn't have to be that way. I'm just saying.
Listen, Max, I know you have strong opinions about this. Because otherwise, what happens? You get a T1 that just played against Gen G.
But also, like, if Gen G then beats Hanwha Life Esports, you have to go against Gen G that just beat you.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm still. Do you? Yeah. That's actually. That's
yeah. Right. Because that also makes that round two final actually
makes the decision a lot harder.
It's very difficult to predict.
Is Dom Lunkia the most scared of?
I think it should be T1. Like that's my take, and I think. I know I've been very vocal about this, but I personally think the only team that has the ability to beat Dom1Kia in a best of five is T1 right now with the T1 roster we've been seeing very recently. Again, I don't know what's going to happen in today's regular season match that has no playoff implications. But right now, I think that T1 at their peak could do it. I'm not trying to say like T1 are favored or they will beat Dom1Kia, but I think if you're Dom1, you already know how to deal with Hanwha Life Esports. Like, you've dealt with them many times. You've played against them so many times. You know their play style. You can handle them. And I feel like at Hanwha's highest points, their consistent level, their macro is like a little bit behind where we're seeing Dom1 right now. I feel like Dom1 has just kind of are comfortable with Hanwha at the moment. Whereas T1 is this weird X factor where it's not even about like, are you scared about beating them in that semifinal in that round two match? It's like, I'd rather study what they do against Gen G and learn what form T1 is in and then be prepared to face them in a final with that extra information in mind. That's kind of how I feel about it, because I don't think Hanwha Life Esports' style is necessarily going to change between now and that second round if they go there. But T1 is a little bit less known right now, so I feel like you want to gain a little bit of information before you go into the finals. That's my take. Have that extra round of buffer to just figure out what T1 is going to be playing like and what their form is.
And also, if you think about the matchup just straight down the line between Dom1Kia and Hanwha Life Esports, I think when you take the best player in the world and you match him up against someone that has very limited experience, I don't think Johan stands a chance against Canyon. I think it's actually pretty, like, it's a pretty unfair matchup.
I'm really interested because I think Hanwha Life is the obvious choice, but I legitimately do think that there is merit in picking AT1, even with the I think the information angle is an interesting one. It doesn't have anything to do with me for the rankings. It just has to do with the fact that historically a lot of these players of T1 have shown growth over the course of a playoff.
Oh yeah, no, I agree.
And trying to snipe them early on, I could see that be the reason.
Yeah, that's a good argument.
But if they go for Hanwha Life, I think the cases that you guys are making is pretty clear cut as well. So it's interesting. That's what makes it fun, because it actually does feel like there's two options.
Yeah, if you're really confident, maybe you just snipe them real quick.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, oh, we can beat anybody. Let's get rid
of them. Doesn't
matter. Like, or even, you know, take away as many points of theirs as possible. Like, get them away so they can't even challenge us for first place, potentially.
The other angle here, too, which we didn't talk about too much in regular season because T1 was so up and down that it wasn't as hype of a matchup. The other angle is, like, the coaches being so familiar with each other's teams that I think Koma will make absolutely the right decision. He's not going to say it in an interview why he did what he did necessarily, but I think Koma knows the right call. Like, he will know whether T1 or it's important to snipe T1 early, or if they want to study more. Like, Koma will make the right choice. I think he'll be the one who makes the call, and I think like pretty much everyone universally should trust his decision as the right one, because they obviously these two teams have such a overlapping role.
Yeah, and then Zephyr and Dany as well, like on the other side of the rift, it's a very similar like situation. And the thing that's really hilarious is that now we're talking about it all mixed up. Like, if it was like 2 years ago talking about Koma, it's like, obviously that's T1. If it was last year talking about Dany and Zephyr, that's obviously Dom1. But actually, no, it's all being switched. It's all very confusing. And maybe they want to save that for the final anyway, you know, utilize that extra level of, I guess, experience that they have in order to try and dampen some of the nerves. But I understand your thoughts, because it's a very board game idea, right? Because if you've grinded a game so many times, you understand that, like, oh right, this they're going to get a buff the further they are up in the gauntlet. This is something that's happened for T1.
They passed go one more time.
Yeah, right. So they've got like an extra 3 combat die for this roll, man. Like this is going to be a much more difficult T1 to face off in the final. And I actually think that, that thinking does have a place, but I still think it's way more risky, and I don't think that you should do it if you actually want to just place as high as you possibly can, because there is more than just winning it all. Like if it was all or nothing, right, like winner takes all type final, then you know maybe it's different, but I think that just because you want to get as many points as possible, it makes more sense.
I think the interesting one last thing on this note, the really interesting part about Dom Wankia, regardless of opponent, they have a really strong mid laner to face. Like, and Showmaker has been kind of up and down this season. I feel like he's, I don't want to call him underperforming necessarily, but he's been a little bit inconsistent. He's been solo killed by a few different players across the board as well. Lava Low being King the, Lava, the yep. most most interesting one, but like he's expressed that he had somewhat of a wrist injury, which then he said in his interview yesterday that he's doing much better these days, so don't take it too seriously. But regardless of his injury, he's facing against Chovy or Faker or Closer. Like, there's 3 insanely strong mid laners he faces either way. And I think that you getting over that hurdle and actually being able to have that playoff buff for yourself in finals, if you are actually able to, as Showmaker, defeat one of those 3 mid laners, whichever one he does face, and get over that potentially mental hurdle that he might be going through right now. Because I personally think, you know, just from my perspective, I think Showmaker is going through a little bit of a slump right now compared to the rest of the team. That could be a place where T1 or Honor Life actually, you know, expose Dom Wankia a little bit, even if they don't lose the series. Whoever meets them in the finals might be like, oh, I noticed like Showmaker had some issues against this champion, or like when Chovy played this, he couldn't handle it very well kind of thing. I think we're actually going to learn a lot about that mid-matchup because of both Hanwha and T1 having such a strong mid lane. And again, regardless of whether it's Faker or Closer, Closer insanely mechanically gifted himself. It could be a problem for Showmaker. Also,
by the way, one final thought. if they're most scared of Gen.G, I think you absolutely let T1 face against Gen.G.
Well, that's how you know
let
how to plan
battle
it.
It out. I want you to take out
that's
Gen.G.
That's a good point.
Or I want you to take out Gen.G. And then we'll beat you in the finals. Other than like, oh, we can beat T1 now, but like actually Gen.G's really scary and I don't know if Hanwha can beat them, so I don't really want to face them in a best of 5. Again, they lost a best of 3 to Gen.G recently. That's their most recent best of 3 loss, so
that's a really good point. I hadn't even considered.
Like, T1 is just team. General Zod. You just send General Zod against the Gen.G Superman and then you're all good, man. Like I don't know, like it seems like there is certainly a kryptonite element when it comes to T1 versus Gen.G, and I think if you're dumb, that's another reason to just like, well, I mean, let's just let these ones take each other out, you know, and see what happens. Because if Gen.G overcomes it, right, then that's actually super cool, but it's just not likely that based on what we've seen recently. Like, you put this current T1 roster on the field, you've got like Cuz that's been good at dealing with Clid, you've got Faker that just destroys the entire organization somehow, like Carrier and Teddy need no introduction. I don't think it matters which team they're against, they're just extraordinarily good, and Kanna's been playing a lot better. Like, this is a scary T1 roster, and I think that what it does to Gen.G's mental, I think we have to, like, we can't just talk about it like it's not there. We can't talk about the strengths and weaknesses of these teams based on their play, because it's so consistent, the breakdown of Gen.G every time they're up against the one red wing.
Hey, except the Worlds qualifier.
Yeah.
We do have to mention that.
Yeah.
That was the one time. Gen.G did crush them.
Didn't they? But didn't they also play, I don't know if I'm remembering correctly, but didn't they also play Guma then in that qualifier?
Yes, I think that was the first time he played, but he was still like an LCK rookie because it was an LCK.
I think that's a really interesting point that you raised, because Gen.G, and this is more talking about Gen.G as a team right now, have actually kind of reverted back to last year's Gen.G. Because I think that Gen.G at the beginning, like the mid half of this split, really went for the Renekton and Nidalee, right? Like Rascal and Clid go and win topside, and then the rest of the map will just play even, and then we go from there. And I think that what we've seen from them, when they're getting pressured in a best of 3, they default back to Rascal on Ornn, BDD on Azir, and they fall back on these super stable team fight comps that we saw them play last year, which led to getting free owed by G2. in the quarterfinals.
And that's a stain on LCK history that will never be.
I still think Gen.G is a really good team, but it's just that that is something that worries me going into playoffs, that we slowly see them revert back, because I feel like they lost their confidence in their aggressive style, and then that leaves you open to teams that either play early game better than you or can actually match you or out-team fight or out-macro you.
Yeah. And I think, like, my point about this being really easy to predict doesn't necessarily mean that the outcome is set in stone. It's just that if you put all of the matchups in the theoretical playoffs in front of you, in my mind, it's like, oh, that team. Oh, that team. Oh, that team. Oh, that team. Exactly. Oh, the final, that team. That's how it feels. We need to have upsets. And I probably should have prefaced this. It's just bad hosting on my part just to try and keep the hype. But, like, we need upsets. We need teams like DRX to actually, like, remember that they're a good team at exactly the right time and challenge.
I completely agree. And I also think that it's important to remember this because I think a lot of fans don't understand this. If you predict DRX to advance, like, you're a bad analyst, basically. Like, you cannot predict the thing, DRX to advance here. It's a ridiculous notion, right?
Wow.
Like, DRX may like somewhat randomly win because they're that type of team, or they might way overperform. Especially, you know, as you were mentioning, it's not a good time to slump. They might break out of it. They might completely come up with a new meta drafting style. I mean, they were the first team to popularize Udyr, for example. Now it's completely standard around the world. This is something that could happen, right? But if you're actually expecting DRX to win, I think you're crazy, right? Like, if you're like, oh, yeah, no, like, DRX takes this 100%, like, well, that's ridiculous. Or if you're predicting Nongshim to win over Honolife, like, what are you thinking? Like, that, you know, the predictions of the first two matches are so, it feels so obvious in terms of what we understand right now in the meta of League of Legends and where these teams' power levels are, that I think it does lead to that sort of predictable bracket you're talking about. And if an upset happens, then the whole thing changes, right? But it just doesn't. It feels like you cannot predict the upset right now. No. Unless you want to be a contrarian, Mal. Go on.
No. But I do want to say that this has been one of the most, like, topsy-turvy, upset-heavy splits of the entire LCK.
True.
And
if you predict it, it's not an upset.
Well, that's
though.
No.
That's the problem.
I mean, like, you just because no one remembers wrong predictions because no one cares. But if you're the guy who gets it right, no, I'm not gonna.
I don't know, man. Like, I've been keeping a tally.
I'm with you there. I do, however, think that the less we expect it, the better will be when it inevitably happens. Because I think in like 90% of the cases, the bracket just plays out as any quote-unquote reasonable person would expect to, right? I think during round two, it gets a little bit more, like, trouble, but, like, round one should be very, very, very clear. But that's what we thought so many times. And fact of the matter is, it just matters what your form on the day is. And we've seen all these teams that are playing really well and that are clear favorites have their off days, both in terms of draft. Need I remind you of the triple tank Hanwha live draft?
Oh yeah,
or
yeah,
of the stone. Yeah, no, exactly. But that's my point, right? And like, I think that reasonably it shouldn't happen, but we've collectively said that many a times this split, and we've been wrong.
There is the aspect of the unknowable.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Based on what we know.
Yes,
to be true.
I agree with your core take that I think on paper this is pretty clear cut. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to say that actually there is the analysis why DRX
wins. It's funny because if you're a DRX fan, you're probably like you're trying to like become religious or something. Like, you're praying and like hoping, like you're actually like rubbing your hands together like this in front of the draft screen, hoping that actually Pjosic has a secret pick that nobody knows about that's like going to totally change the best of five.
It's Riven Jungle.
Riven Jungle. That could
There's
be
also
it.
Like a change of patch and things like that as well. I believe that we're going to be on 11.6.
Yeah, it actually benefits so like, Gen.G, I think.
Yeah, and it's also, really you cool. know, the rise of Jhin as well is something that will just directly benefit Damwon, which I'm a little bit scared of. We didn't actually see it. We haven't seen too much of it elsewhere, but Jhin is said to be one of the big boys of the patch. And when you see Jhin, I just think Ghost. Because he's just really good at standing back and shooting people.
That's kind of his thing.
Yeah.
So
I think for playoffs, I'm going to make a prediction. I think we're going to see Urgot at least once.
Oh, yeah. Hit me with your Urgot.
Oh, definitely.
I think Urgot.
I'm reset about a Freaker again. Kane was such a good Urgot.
I actually...
Every best of five scenario, we always get like that one game where it's like, oh, my God, this is the crazy...
G2 last night.
Or... You know.
It's going to be... Is Chovy going to do it again? The mid-Urgot from, like, 2018?
Sure. Oh, yeah, I think Chovy's a good choice.
I was really sad we didn't get to see Urgot 11.5, because I think that he's still strong on 11.6, but on 11.5, he was actually broken because his on-hit modifier with Titanic was, like, it was 25% more than it should have been.
Ooh.
Yeah, and teams have just not picked it up, so that's just... Like, he got nerfed on 11.6 to make sure that that specifically didn't happen, because Titanic... Hydra Urgot Rush was just like, was apparently really good, and I tried it. It was really dumb. If I can win top lane with it, then you know that's
problematic. Is that like your shotgun legs just like do ridiculous? Oh god, yeah, no, shotgun legs were already really annoying.
Yeah, and yeah, it was not healthy for the game. So it's good that it's left. But I love
Urgot. I think Urgot at least once. You remember the last time Urgot happened like this was the KT
Griffin final?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm that talking one. About. I'm talking about Chovy, man. And they were flexing that Urgot everywhere.
Yeah, like, and then after that, it was like, whoa, this is a pick.
Yeah.
This is a thing, right? I think this is the time when finally LCK is going to be like, okay, we're going to play something new. I think it's going to be this new format with five best of fives. And teams that are desperate, you know, maybe like in game three, Nongshim pulls out some weird stuff. Or DRX, like, maybe Pioshik actually does play jungle Riven just to be like, okay, well, we got crushed twice in a row. Let's just try it. So I think...
Well, Faker plays mid Riven again because he's been doing it in solo queue.
I just want Khan Riven. God. That's all I want.
Yeah. the OG.
The OG.
Yeah, that's going back so many years. Damn.
Oh, do you guys have any other champion predictions?
Yeah, I really hope Poppy is not disabled anymore, because I think Poppy's... as like Poppy and Vega are like these counter picks that... Even though it didn't work out, like the Vega that Fly pulled out, right? We could still see the value of that pick. And I think if you put that pick in the hands of a team that actually knows how to play around it and draft around it, like Poppy, Vega, like imagine playing a standard Udyr composition into Vega. Like that's
good luck.
That's so sad, right? Because like you sprint the carry and there's like cage around you. He's like, well,
I predict we'll see one non-Yone mid-assassin.
Like, you want to see Talon, don't you?
Talon, Akali, Zed. I think we'll see one pick like that.
I want the Talon. I do really want the Talon.
Faker Talon, please.
Mm-hmm.
Faker Echo. Faker Fizz.
BDD Zed.
Faker anything.
Maybe Kong BDD Fizz. Will bring it out.
Kong Fizz.
Back at it again.
No, I don't want that. I was like, they won that game, but I don't think it did anything.
No, it didn't. But it was... Did you have a fun time watching?
I mean, I sort of did, but then I was also like, oh, isn't it sad that they can just win 4v5? Like,
yeah. We didn't talk about Gen.G enough.
If you want to take on Gen.G specifically, I think that, as I said, Gen.G has slowly started to revert back to the team that they were in 2020, which means that the mistakes and the weaknesses that the team had in 2020 are probably just going to come back in playoffs, which is sad, because I was actually... At the beginning of this play, I was like, why does Gen.G not have more fans, right? Like, this is a team that makes quarters in Worlds, which is honestly still impressive, even within the context of the LCK. It's a team that has, like, an ex-World champion on it, right? And, like, they crush the regular split. And then you see the beginning of the split, and you're like, oh, they're actually super good. And then they start losing, and then they start going back to super slow team comps. And they still win because, mechanically, you just have players like Ruder and BDD that if you put them in a comfortable position, they'll carry. But it kind of feels like the Fred at Brion way, where you're like, we're not going to play the game and then hope that we get to a point where we can 100% win the game.
I feel like Gen.G is a team that always gets pushed out of their comfort zone in important series because they play so predictably and they draft so predictably and they don't change their style ever. So Rascal never gets to play Renekton or Camille, and then he ends up playing, like right now in the LCK, like those are always banned against him. And then he's a little bit off his comfort zone and playing weak side, even though he's done it very well in the past. Like, in his recent performances, when he is playing it, he doesn't look very good on it. But when you're drafting against Gen.G, you know that when you give those champions away, they perform very well. And so as a result, like, it feels like Gen.G are never playing the style they're practicing or wanting to play because they always draft the same way. And so teams eventually are like, well, I just won't let you do that. And then Genji's like, oh, I played a shaky series and we barely won against a weaker team because we didn't play what we prepared because they knew we were going to do that. It feels like they need to have more depth, you know? And that's what I think the biggest weakness of Gen.G is. It's just, same players. They didn't, the roster didn't change at all, didn't evolve at all. And maybe if they have a big fail here in the playoffs, might be time to talk about moving Bird all in and making some changes.
But they also just beat Domonkia. Like, that's the crazy part. Like, they just beat Domonkia in best of three. Like, why is there no hype?
I think Gen G are, like, super good at anyone that isn't T1.
Yeah.
That you can send some salt, right? It's because, like, I think Gen G can beat anyone in the LCK outside of T1. And maybe it's because I'm jaded now, you know, I've gone through some years of this being the case. And it used to be the other way around, right? Like, you go back to 2017, there's a reason why Ruler has a world championship, right? It's because he managed to take down T1 in that series and made Faker cry and all that sort of stuff. But then, like, it's been slowly reverting back. And ever since, like, 2019, and especially last year in spring, like, the mojo is just destroyed. Like, we need, like, the second Austin Powers movie so they can go through the character development to get it back again.
They need to win an LCK for people to respect them. It's almost just that simple, right? Like, you have to
just
have
win. Lol.
You have to have a I know, but just in terms of, like, where the respect level is and where the hype is, right? You think about all the other orgs, and even Hanoi Life Esports, you're a little bit more excited about, because you're like, well, look at these players and look at what they have won, the LCKs they have won and the titles they have, you know, players like Deft and Jovi. You're like, okay, well, I expect big things from this team. It is exciting. They've done it before. Well, with Gen G, you've been disappointed so many times that even if you're the most hardcore Gen G fan, you're like, let's just see how it goes, you know?
It does feel like the new KT. It's the new KT fandom in a lot of ways. And it's weird that a lot of this revolves around T1 or then SKT, right? Like, for KT, it was that the telecom war was often their kryptonite. Until, you know, 2018, where it turned around, and, like, that match has always been so exciting. Not so much anymore, but I think that Gen G versus T1 is the one that it's never as it should be. There's always some extra element that you don't necessarily, like, truly understand based on the actual performance of the players in games past. And that's what I don't like. I want players to be able to play their champions as good against other teams, you know, so that you can actually, like, give this guy a power level. It's like you need to add caveats now to all of these power levels. It's like, Ruler is so damn good, unless he's against Teddy. And, like, BDD is so incredibly good at Azir, unless he's against T1. Like, there are all of these things that, like, you have to now add these caveats to. And I think that, you know, BDD has been a phenomenal mid laner. I think that the top four that we're theorizing, right, assuming that Nongshim and DRX aren't going to make it, like, these are the four best mid laners in the LCK by a pretty large margin.
Like,
it's not even really close.
I'd even say, like, globally, they're all up there.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, outside of, the LPL, who also has, like, ridiculous...
Well, yeah, naturally, like, I don't think they'd all be at the highest ranks, and if you look at, like, specifically, he would be at the top. Obviously, you just got to go for Showmaker. But, like, BDD would still make a top 10 list in a lot of cases. Or I think he should do at the very least.
Yeah, I think without these caveats, right? 100%.
Yeah, okay. let's say they don't face off because, yeah.
Look at how they played against Gen G. I think BDD had, like, one of the best series of his life. He was absolutely incredible. Gen G against Damwon. Damwonkia.
I
think that he just looked so good in that
series. I know
series.
You two are going to ridicule me for this, but I really just
I
hope...
might too, you never know.
Don't count your chickens.
Thank you. I maybe this is the split where Gen G turns in the round. Like, it can happen.
I won't ridicule
True.
This.
I mean,
no, it could
it's,
be.
It's possible. We're not talking about definites here, you know? We're talking about, like, the realms of probability.
I think if they can make finals, I think they have a good chance. I don't think it's as good as T1's to beat Damwon, but I think they have a good chance.
I think if they win three games in the final, I think that I think it's almost guaranteed.
<Is that so>?
Thank you so much for joining me, gentlemen. Thank you to Wolf and to Valdez for coming in on your day off.
Definitely worth it.
We will now, Chronicler and I, go and cast some video games that you have already seen. So let us know in the comments how stupid we are for getting the matchups
wrong. And whether the games are exciting or not, Chronicler, the T1 Honda Life series, was it good? Let us know.
Listen, it's going to be good. I'm telling you. I'm speaking
to the future
listen,
right now. Like,
listen,
know,
okay? Listen.
Listen up. No.
All right. On that note, thank you so much for watching our round square table on the Pog State. Make sure you let us know on Twitter how you thought of it and leave us a comment and just tell us to listen or something like that. Thank you so much.